education needs, which will result from our collective work in fighting COVID-19. We ask that you train your frontline staff to identify legitimate reasons for an overnight stay, and also to be diligent about identifying and turning away anyone wishing to stay due to leisure activities. The city will designate an employee to answer questions from lodgers related to this order. So that just is a statement to kind of set the tone for what this restrict is all about. It's about leisure travel. It's not about other kinds of travel that people need to do to help us fight COVID-19. So with that, I think I'll turn it over to Rachel and see if you have additional comments before we start some discussion. I just want to say I'm hoping we can just outline how we want to implement the order that's already in place without rewriting the order, but to just talk about implementation and what it means.
Mayor McBride, councilors, Mayor, thank you for that statement. Again, the purpose of this item is to ratify the order of the mayor and to provide clarity to staff and to the community regarding council's intent so the policy can be efficiently implemented. Again, at Mayor McBride's direction, the leisure travel ban was put in place under the city's emergency declaration authority to ensure the health and safety of the community. And with that, I'll turn it over to the council.
Okay, I think we could just give our thoughts on how this should be implemented. So I prefer if we didn't do the raise hand on the Zoom meeting, because then I have to keep track of your faces and Rachel's doing the mute button. And so if we could just actually raise your hand like this, it's way easier for me to call on people than to try and keep track of all of the other ways. So if someone would like to start, go ahead and raise your hand, or I'll just call on people. Okay, I've got, I think Mark, you raised your hand first, or Mark or Megan, whatever, Rachel, you can, Mark.
I'm really having trouble.
So I'm actually wondering if you can clarify what you mean by we're clarifying the implementation of the order. What are you asking?
So the statement I just made regarding we are trying to keep people that are coming here for leisure activities to stay at home. That, people that are necessary, people that need to be sheltered, those are the groups that are okay to come and stay in hotels, motels, short-term rentals, B&B.
So, I guess maybe it's me. So, I like how you described it today, Kate, which sounded more partnership related with the hotels and helping them know when to avoid having tourists come just to crowd the city. I support the goal of telling tourists to stay away from right now. I think that's forgot. I do think, though, that this thing as written is not voluntary and participatory, interactive. It's very much you will kick everyone out that isn't staying for 30 days or otherwise meeting these other exceptions. I had hoped for a much gentler partnership related thing where we're working with the hotel operators to say, we all want to keep the tourists away, but you're partnering with that interaction as opposed to you must do this. So I'm not currently in support of the language as it's written right now, because I don't know how this language could work with the way you stated it, Kate, which is more of a participatory interaction type. So that's where I see.
So Rachel or Dan, could you explain might be able to be used, what we have now used with the way I stated what we want to do today. Can you answer that question, if that's possible to do that?
Sure, Mayor. I'd be happy to, and Dan, you're unmuted, so feel free to jump in. Mayor, we could simply send the statement. If the statement that you read encompasses the intent of the order, then we would simply send that to our lodging partners and then work with them to implement it. I've had several discussions with lodgers over the past few days, and I believe that with some clarity from the City Council, they remain strong partners in all of our efforts to combat COVID-19.
Dan, can you help answer that question?
Sure. The way the mayor's declaration is worded is mandatory and sets the basic requirements. This is how you draft code. So you have the authority to do this under state law and also your emergency operations ordinance. And so it's a pretty clear statement, and it got all of the hotel and motel operators' attention, and they started to figure out how to implement it. How you implement it with them is kind of up to you, sort of, as we say in the business, prosecutorial discretion. I'm not looking for any police citations for violations of this. I don't anticipate that happening at all, but it sets the ground rules for what has to happen. How you implement that, if you want a softer touch in implementing it, that's fine. But these are the basic requirements of what you want to happen at the end of the day. And when you write regulations such as this, they have to be in mandatory terms or people think it's a negotiation process. How you actually implement it, could be softer than what appears rigidness appearing in the declaration, but these are the rules that most communities have adopted. All the coastal communities, their heads at the end of this weekend when so many wrecks appeared on the coast and at the trailheads in the gorge, and so this is also patterned after what all these other counties and cities have adopted.
Okay, great. Let's do Tim. Tim, you had your hand up a while back, and then we'll go to Megan. Tim first.
I have the mic.
There you go.
Tim, let
Rachel unmute you, so don't you unmute yourself. Okay.
That it should be more of a partnership. I guess really what I'm trying to say is that maybe the major is not
Okay, thanks, Tim. Megan?
Yeah, I guess it'd be great. I don't know if it's Mark or Kate, if you can clarify who do you see that would be allowed to sustain hotels or parking rentals under Kate's definition if you wrote today versus the order.
Can you say that again, Megan, the first part?
Like, this might be more for Mark, where
I'm really having trouble with the mute,
unmute.
Like
there's some concern that the order restricts more people from staying in hotels than what we define today. And so who, like, what type of person do you see that is not covered in the thing today that is covered in the order?
I don't know, but it could be, let's say, communication utilities. Workers that maybe come into the community for a short period of time to keep things running. I think that the...
And that's not an essential worker under the order?
No, that's not essential. I think that I would say essential is first responders and medical people. But it does say truck drivers and supply providers, I guess.
I mean, utility workers have to be covered under that.
Yeah, I guess, Part B is fairly broad. Maybe that's the, I didn't have, I'm fully on board with keeping visitors away. I just thought that some flexibility. I'll mute it.
Okay, well then I guess I'll jump on to Tim's comment as well. I do think, as much as I certainly want to keep the partnership and conversation going with our hotel and other transit operators, clearly we need to keep not just, I think Tim's going to have not just leisure activities, but all visitors, all people passing through who don't have an essential reason to travel with a government order.
Some of these I'm just unable, like Gladys, I can't unmute.
So I do think the coverage of essential workers.
Just leave them unmuted for now.
Jessica, so any of you like to comment? And then we'll go back around again.
also just this morning I saw a link about listing essential, those kind of guidelines of, you know, is your business essential? IT in Washington had come out with their student. I guess one of the questions that I had seen raised from some of the hotels about would this count is people that, what if they're driving through and just need a place to stay for the night, but I guess what are those, maybe it just depends on why they are driving through. I think that, and maybe that's just to say that there's going to be these gray areas and that falls into category B about other individuals that's authorized by the Monroe County Health Department.
I would assume that that would probably come under D. I think we're just trying to limit people's travel and discourage people from traveling. And, you know, I felt like if we, you know, if we lived in a place that basically took you 12 hours to get here from any direction, then you really do need a place to put your head down for the night. But we don't. You know, we are fairly close to a lot of other places. And I'm not saying we should just shove them off to the next community either, but I just don't think that we should expose ourselves and to try and discourage people from traveling as much as we can. Gary?
You guys hear me okay? Okay, so first of all, I commend the mayor and the city manager for pushing us forward as they have. The proactivity that I've seen from our city hall has been excellent, and so I thank you for that. I, on the substance of it, I guess I share Mark's concerns. You know, there is something to be said about the rule of law applying rather than blanket discretion, which is really where we're headed, but these are unique times, and maybe one way to help mitigate that disconnect. You know, by the way, I have full absolute faith in our city administrators, the chief of police, so that's not the issue for me at all. You know, but having good, clear standards is normally what you think. But perhaps, you know, analogizing to what my business is, a TRO, a temporary restraining order, which is sort of what this is, we could perhaps help the process by having either, maybe not an end date, because we don't have enough certainty of what the end date is going to be, but at least maybe like a 10-day touch base with council or something that indicates we're going to revisit this, see how it's going, so that the community and the hoteliers know that this isn't necessarily indefinite, because it could be the thing changed in 10 days and we may want to revisit that. So having a standing understanding that the council will to revisit this is one helpful item. I will also say I would really like the idea of having a telephonic person available to field phone calls from the hotelers so they can answer questions, because it seems that, and I think we should be clear that if the city staff gives direction to a hoteler, that they are reasonably relying on that and wouldn't be held liable, for example, in the paragraph 4. Which is pretty significant. We're talking about criminal infractions for violence. So I would think that relying on a city official for guidance would be something that exculpates someone who violated the order. One, I guess, slightly unrelated thing. I have been in touch with some social service folks. The warming shelter and Providence Hospital are coordinated to actually get our homeless into the hotels, paying for that with private dollars, to number one, help those people get off the street this dangerous time, but also help it so those folks don't have quite the urgent need to go to the ER room as they might otherwise, so to help our frontline healthcare workers as well. And I do see in 2C reference to homeless individuals, but that word may has me hung up a little bit just because if the Hood River County Health Department, who I haven't spoken with, doesn't think that we should be housing our homeless, then those people will be turned away. So it's my personal view that we should, in fact, that housing our homeless in the hotel, private dollars to pay for that is a benefit to the community. And I, from what I understand, this isn't standing in the way of that, but I guess as a city councilor, I would just like clear agreement if people are in agreement that that is an acceptable practice, because I think that is for the benefit of the community. And I know that we have private social services and private donation money going in that direction. And the last thing I'll mention is, but someone mentioned, you know, Governor Inslee across the river, he did articulate pretty clearly what it means to be an essential worker. And I appreciated a comment from Jessica that maybe the state of Oregon has come up with something similar. I agree we don't want to weigh down our document with 14 pages of this and that, but having a resource to look at that someone else has done is at least sort of guidance or factors that we can consider to help us through making some of these difficult decisions, and we don't need to necessarily reinvent the wheel. So the Governor Inslee's statement, I thought, was well-written and provided good guidance, and if our governor has done the same thing, great. We'd be looking to those resources to help us with the judgment calls.
Thank you, Eric. Good comments. Gladys?
Everyone can hear me. I really like Eric's comments that he just made right now, having someone available in case a hotel owner has a question. I think that would be great, because we really do want folks to stay home. If you don't have, and thank God, if you don't have to be here in the river, please stay home. Don't come. I think it's very important that we are also we want to flatten the curve. And the only way of doing that is by making decisions like this. And that's really all I have to add.
Tim?
Yeah, I would like to kind of draw a distinction between hotels and motels in the town and the Airbnb and other types of hotels. Could we agree that some of the things we've been talking about providing ways for essential opportunities in our town, if they need to, really shouldn't really include their programs? Because I mean, it's going to get to a point where it's almost impossible.
So I think that's really a question for Dan, because can we treat short-term rentals, you know, transient stays, different in one spot than another?
As a general matter, we are sort of required to treat similarly situated entities the same, but also I don't think this is going to be an issue. The short-term rentals largely rent over the internet. Airbnb has a new policy for granting refunds during this period, since some of the jurisdictions where Airbnb operates have now been shut down, or people are canceling wholesale. So I'm not aware that people are using Airbnb and short-term rentals as a way to kind of circumvent this limitation. As I understand it, Will Norris has been checking, since he monitors the short-term rentals in town, that they're all largely empty. But a lot of what people have said so far of the use for the city's hotels, it's true. They're now being used for quarantine medical workers, and so I don't think they're shutting down. I don't think any motel or hotel operator has read this and shut down and left town. And the city has received multiple calls from multiple hotel operators about, well, we've got someone who has a reservation, they fall in this category, can they stay or not? So I think the regulated community is working with the city to figure this out, to figure out the intent of your order and to make it work in this time. I'm not aware that short-term rentals are being used to circumvent this. And remember what caused this response throughout the state were massive numbers of recreational users at recreational sites throughout the state of the coast, in the gorge, all over the place. And that's what we're trying to stop. And I think it had that effect. It has in all the communities that have adopted this. We've got rainy weather coming in this weekend, so I don't see a repeat of that. So I'm kind of reluctant to carve out a special short-term rentals as different than hotels. It's kind of hard-pressed to identify a legitimate grounds for doing so in this regulation. But if you see, if you in the community see that this is a big loophole that's being exploited, we can figure some way to close that loophole.
Yeah, and Mayor, I would add, in response to Councilor Haney's question about Providence and about the homeless warming shelter, the city is actively engaged in both of those efforts through the EOC in coordination with public health. So we're very much aware of those collaborative efforts that are happening between the nonprofit community, public health, hospitals, and our lodgers who have proactively stepped up to meet those needs in this during this time.
And then also Eric had mentioned you know, a time frame, and this order really goes along with our emergency declaration that we already had, which I believe is goes through April, the middle of April. Is that correct, Rachel?
That's correct, through the 14th. At this point, it could be extended as needed.
So there is an end time, and we would revisit this at the same time we revisit the other resolution. So that's basically about 2 weeks from now, just a little over 2 weeks. Jessica?
Thank you. I was just going to chime in that I do see that the short-term rentals provide an important role for some of the people that are on the list. Welcome staying here, especially if they're going to be, you know, if I was going to stay in a place for 30 days, I probably would find it more comfortable to have a kitchen and things like that. So I wouldn't want to carve out something separate for short-term rental. And I think having a person at the city that can help answer questions will help the short-term rentals figure out if they're applying.
I think that since we've just done this, you know, within the last basically 48 hours, there probably, or there may, I don't know, probably, there may be some people that have been in short-term rentals that, you know, Monday or Tuesday. And once they learn that they can't stay here, it just, you know, it's going to take them just a few days to leave if they were here for leisure or recreation. So, you know, even though we may have seen someone in a short-term rental that looked like they were here on a vacation 3 or 4 days ago, hopefully with this order within, you know, 24 hours, or maybe they've already left, hopefully. But, you know, I think what we saw 3 days ago may not be what's happening today. Additional, we can go around again, and anyone have more comments? Tim?
I just want to acknowledge that, you know, this order is placing a burden on folks that have these businesses, business ventures, and I want to express my appreciation for them, you know, empathy for them in this time. It's the same as having people that are affected by this situation.
Thank you, Tim. Yeah, I'll just echo that, and I'm sure the rest of the council, we don't take doing this lightly. Any of the restrictions we put on for any businesses in the city, any clampdown on regulations, you know, not going to parks, all those kinds of things, very, very, very hard decisions for us to make. But, you know, we're trying to keep as many people safe and without this COVID-19 as we can, and, you know, be thoughtful about it. So I think that's why we're doing what we're doing. But we have empathy, and we don't take it lightly what we're doing. Any more comments on this? Okay, I think Rachel and Dan, do you have enough guidance of what we want to do here?
Mayor, I feel like we do. We will go ahead and send your opening statement out to the lodging community, which seemed to summarize what we've heard today. And we will go ahead and figure out an employee, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Megan, I see your hand up.
So I generally am great with Kate's opening statement, except I would echo Tim's thing of leisure is maybe too loose, so if we could do non-essential travel or something, that would be great.
I mean, we can put leisure and non-essential travel in there. We could use both of those statements. That might cover all of it.
Yeah, I think something, but yeah, definitely more than leisure, because I think there is a depth of folks that will think they're not traveling for leisure, but shouldn't be traveling anyway.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's see. So we have one more item on our agenda.
So Mayor, I apologize for the interruption. We would accept a, have council make a motion ratifying the declaration. Everybody is unmuted, so go ahead.
Yes, I would move that we adopt the resolution with respect to declaration directing the city manager to close public parks, recreation sites, transient lodging facilities, and campgrounds to prevent aggregation of people and reduce the spread of the coronavirus. And further, that we direct city manager to circulate to local hotelers the mayor's statement of intent with respect to what we are adopting as amended by council in discussions today.
Thank you, Eric.
Can we clarify that's resolution number 2020-05?
It's a declaration. It is a declaration from the office of the mayor. Well, then that could be just an error on our part. We have it noted as a declaration. I think the intent is clear. Dan, if you want to jump in here.
Prepared a resolution.
Oh, I apologize. That's my error. You're correct. There are two documents.
So okay. Yes, resolution number
2020-05.
Yep.
2020.
Mm-hmm.
And I will second.
Okay. So Councillor Haney has made a motion to approve the resolution 2025. Is that correct? 2020-05, and Councilor Saunders has seconded that. Additional discussion.
Kate, I just want to, I don't think it needs to go into the motion, but I want to make sure that we have the same intent to review stuff before the April 14th extension period to sort of assess how well it's going.
Correct. That is correct. We will look at this. This is part of the, you know, what we started with the initial emergency resolution. This is because of that, and we will revisit it then. Okay. Okay, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor, raise your hand so I can... Okay, I see all councilors raising their hand. Chair also raises her hand. We all vote aye. Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, motion passes unanimously. All right, now we have our second item for today, which is resolution explicitly authorizing.
Can you mute the councilors
for me? Can you mute for land acquisition and related debt service? So, Rachel, you want to talk about this one?
Yeah, I'll turn it over to Will.
Thank you. Can everyone hear me? Okay. Mayor and City Council, this is more of a housekeeping item, not nearly as important as the last item we just went through, but it is time sensitive, so we wanted to move it through because it's important to get this interpretation memorialized as we build the 2021 proposed budget. And that's specifically noting that construction excise tax can be used for the debt service incurred for the purchase of Grand Road. The City Council adopted a 1% construction excise tax in 2017. And under state law, that can go to three, it's apportioned out three different ways. Some of them go just straight to the state of Oregon.
They want to speak.
But two of the purposes for one, a local housing program, and two, developer incentives. One of the, and each one of those has some examples, but in state, in the state language and in our own municipal code, those are, it just gives us general examples of what a local housing program or what developer incentives would be. So what we're looking for is just a memorialized self-interpretation of our ordinance to say that construction excise tax can be used for land acquisition and for related debt service. And this is so that we have the option to pay back the debt service for the portion of Rand Road that we can be financed using accumulated construction excise tax dollars, which as of the end of 2019, the two locally controlled accounts totaled nearly $400,000. So what we've crafted is resolution 2020-06, making that explicit interpretation. And with that, I'll answer any questions that the council has.
Megan? So this is, might just be financing terms, but by debt service, what exactly do you mean?
Paying back the loan. So we borrowed, we ended up borrowing less than $1 million, about $930,000, payable over 10 years. And so essentially making your mortgage payment. You're going to make the mortgage payment on the Rand Road where we will have the ability to make that payment using construction excise tax revenues.
Okay, so I don't know if it was the staff report or the resolution where it said like the debt service was estimated at $200,000.
Oh yes, I did want to address that. Sorry, I was moving a little bit quickly yesterday and working on a small screen. I merged 2 years worth together. It's actually going to be close to 100.
So it's less than a million, but it's 115,000.
Interest payments.
Interest in principal.
We're approving.
Not making any specific direction or saying that it will be paid from this source revenue, but saying that it would be allowable.
I guess more like, so we would be approving that you can pay off not just the, I'm going to use the wrong terms, but the actual land, but also the interest payments on that land?
On the loan that we took out.
Okay.
It's making the payments on the loan, which would include some principal, some interest.
And that, and it's just to authorize it so that if you need to put that in the budget, when we get to that point, if we have other funding that comes in and we don't need to use the construction excise tax, then we may not, but this authorizes you to use it if we need to use it for that. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
We borrowed on a full faith and credit basis, so the fallback would be general fund dollars if there's no other special dedicated source of revenue.
Okay, other questions, comments? Eric?
Yes, Will, question. So when we say $200,000 in debt service, that's obviously including principal, probably most of that is principal, right? We're not paying that much in interest.
No, and I'm sorry, you may not have heard me say that I merged 2 years worth there. It's going to be closer to 115. We're finalizing the loan right now, and it'll be about $115,000 per year on that 10-year loan.
Oh, 10-year loan. 115. So over 10 years, it would be 115,000 in interest per year?
No. Total debt service and principal. Let me pull up the amortization table that I most recently had.
And again, as we've talked about, we have other options for how we can address this purchase. We've talked about this several times. We're just trying to give council maximum flexibility as we move into this budget process. We're not making a final decision on the funding allocation for this purchase, besides the $410,000 in state money that has already been applied.
I actually commend the city for sort of keeping the lights on, we're still doing business, we're moving forward with things that are important to see. Obviously, the coronavirus is the most important thing, but we do have our staff that are still working from home, and so I commend them for continuing to do things, and I think we will, as a city, continue to address our regular business items, perhaps secondarily, but nonetheless, we will be addressing our regular business items as we proceed, and I just think, my sense of the public should know that we're doing both prioritizing coronavirus while also keeping the lights on and moving forward and other important things.
I think one of the things that's going to be very important in the next 6 weeks is that, you know, we had budget, or we still have budget meetings scheduled, and, you know, this is part of that and making it flexible for what we're going to be talking about when we get to the budget. And of course, the COVID-19 is going to affect that budget dramatically, I'm sure, but we have all the flexibility we can get, and this is just part of that flexibility. That's why we're talking about it, because we're trying to keep the doors open for the city, and it's going to be, you know, some discussion that we're going to have that's going to be different than we would have if this hadn't happened when we get to budget. Jessica?
All right. I was just going to say that I agree with I read it as, you know, if the developer incentive could be for land acquisition, if we were thinking about using these funds for a private developer, and if that included some of the debt payment, I think that that would be understandable. So I support the interpretation that Will laid out, that could also support, that it would support land acquisition and related debt service.
Okay, Megan?
Another question. On page 7 of the packet, the last whereas of the resolution says we talked about this at our regular meeting on January 27th, 2020.
This has been queued up for quite a while, and I think that was intended to been discussed on the 27th. I think this was intended for the January 27th meeting, how to get to budget. So we'll note, I'll strike that.
Okay, and do we need to clarify that it's a special meeting and not a regular meeting?
Yeah, I'll also change, I'll make special meeting and March 27th.
The one I have says March 27th.
And then, sorry, last one, because I mean, I know an answer for Will and folks looking on the budget is important. Do we need to have this actually take effect immediately?
It could take effect on June 30th, but you know, I'm not certain what the.
Will, this is Dina. Resolutions typically take effect immediately. Ordinances have delayed because of the initiative possibility, any referral problem possibility. The resolutions are different. They're immediate.
Okay, thank you.
Additional questions or comments? No? Okay. Let's see. I think we have a motion.
So I don't have a suggested motion, but it would just be to adopt Resolution 2020-06 with the modification to the whereas that Councillor Saunders noted.
And Mayor, all councillors are unmuted, so you're able to just take a verbal vote.
Okay. So do I have a, just as Will stated, that we approve this resolution? Stated by Will. I have a motion by Tim. I think Jessica seconded first. So I have a motion and a second. Additional discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, I have all ayes and chair votes aye. So that has passed unanimously. Great. So that is our last item on our agenda today. We do have a meeting scheduled for, when is that, Rachel? April
13th, Mayor.
April 13th. So I'm sure we will be discussing you know, the resolution that we had today, the first one, and then the second, you know, the main emergency resolution, because they will both be up right after that. So I'm sure those will be on our agendas for next time, plus other things. So, and if we need something in the meantime, let me know. I'm available by phone and email day and night.
One thing, Mayor, this is Dan, the April 14th, first deadline for the effective date of the emergency declaration. That ties into the governor's declaration. It was 20-07, the groups larger than 25. She set a April 14th deadline in that one too. That's why we selected that date. I think the entire state is going to be reviewing their declarations at about the same time.
Okay, great. I'm glad we're all in unison on that. That's good. That's really good. All right. Thank you, everyone. The meeting is adjourned, and I really appreciate your time, spending the time today. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye. Stay safe.